Yeah, old-fashioned, that song. I hadn't heard that until probably the early 2000s. I'd never heard of that hymn before, and it reminds me of my dad, old-fashioned, pretty prominent fellow, had come to me when I was, maybe an older teenager in my 20s, and he said, your father is kind of old-fashioned in what he's believing and unwilling to compromise. And I look back at, think about where that man and his children went. Although, I mean, everybody's free to make their own choices. But I didn't appreciate that because I've seen, you know, the churches that he was pastoring and the Bible school that he was a president for a short time, just gone very apostate. But sometimes God might lead you to places where and into a life that will not be appreciated even among the brethren. And so we have to have grace. Like, people are at different stages in their relationship with God and need to have grace for folks, recognizing that, you know, I'm ashamed of some of the things too in my past too as a believer, and God knows that. We need to do right as we see God leading us. And so we're going to see actually today another person of faith who wasn't always perfect. We've looked at Abel. Now, we didn't see anything in particular about Abel that wasn't right. We didn't learn too much about his life other than he gave a proper sacrifice, proper worship, and he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying. And this is out of Hebrews chapter 11. So in Hebrews 11, in verse 4, we saw Abel, and then we saw Enoch in verse 5, a pleasing walk. He walked with God and was not, for God took him. He had the testimony that he pleased God. Noah, he had a powerful warning to the folks, and he obeyed. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And Abraham, he believed and it was counted him for righteousness, but he didn't just believe, but he went out by faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. So Abraham obeyed. But we looked into their lives a little bit after, and we saw that Noah was not perfect in his lifestyle, and yet he was saved. He was a saved man. Same with Abraham. And we'll even learn a little bit more, talk about him a little bit more yet. But, you know, him lying twice to two different kings that his wife was his sister. Now, that's sort of what you call a half-truth, because she was his half-sister by the same father, different mothers. But his intent was to deceive, and so God had to rebuke him for that. And so today we're going to look at the life of Sarah. Sarah, she was a patient believer. She was very patient because along with Abraham, they couldn't see the end from the beginning or the middle or like from at any point. They couldn't see how this is going to turn out as God had promised. And yet she received strength. Through faith, Sarah received strength. I've heard that sometimes. Oh, give me strength. Sometimes we just need some strength in our faith. Sometimes we need strength in our physical situation. Well, here in her case, her physical body needed strength, and so did her faith. Let's just bow for a word of prayer before we... we'll read verses 11 through 12 of chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 through 12. And if you're able to, please stand as we read these verses from God's holy word. Hebrews 11, verses 11 through 12. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so even as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Please remain standing for prayer. Dear God, we just pray that thou direct my thoughts and words, that they'd be pleasing to thee, and that we could learn something from thy word. We just pray that... your name would be glorified, and that the church would be edified through hearing of thy word and leading of thy Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated. So here we see Sarah. Sarah began her life in the pagan world of Ur in the land of Chaldees, which was located in the area which is now Iraq. She was a half-sister, as well as the wife of Abram. And so their names, her name was, now, I guess the proper way in the Hebrew is to say it's Sarai, and it was changed to Sarah, but that's a little bit awkward for us, we say, so I think Sarai is how I think many of us pronounce her original name, Sarai. And Abram was called Abram before his name was changed to Abraham. Sarai and Abram had the same father but different mothers, according to Genesis 20, verse 12. And in those days, genetics were purer than they are now. And so the laws regarding not marrying your next of kin were not given until later. But in those days, the genetics were purer than they are today, being closer to creation. And intermarriage was not thought of to be that bad between unions of relatives, between relatives. When Abram encountered God for the first time, he believed him. Genesis 12, if you turn to Genesis 12. And verses 1 through 4. We read this before. Now, Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And then if you turn to 15 verse 6. 15 verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham was considered righteous by God because he believed the Lord. His belief was counted to him for righteousness. Belief in the Lord, who would become to know, be known as the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had faith in God, in Jehovah, that God would be true to his promises. And Abram followed God. He obeyed his command to leave his home, to go to a place that he never heard of, much less seen. And Sarai went with him. And their journey brought them to Haran. You see that in the end of chapter 11. And then the days of Terah at the last verse of chapter 11. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So people lived quite an old age there, 205 years old. And he passed away. That's Abram, Sarah's father, passed away in that city of Haran. And Abram and Sarah and their nephew Lot continued on their journey. God led them, guided them. So you can imagine being the wife of Abram, and honey, where are we going? I don't know. God's called me to go to a land that I don't know of. All right. Would some of you ladies find that to be difficult? Okay. Can you appreciate maybe your husband feeling the same way about his thoughts of where God is leading him? We just have many testimonies of men who just felt God's leading them to leave all behind. This morning I was talking about this physician from Texas that went down to the Amazon to preach the gospel. He left a significant practice and just felt God leading him to go and witness to these people in the Amazon. And I was recounting the testimony of a fellow who because of that, was part responsible for leading him to Christ, a Canadian fellow that I'd gone to Bible school with, in fact. And so think about that, what that would feel like to have your husband say, well, this is what we're going to do. And you've got to realize he's going on a promise that they are going to have a son. He's already 75 years old. And now here's the awkward part. Your husband isn't perfect. Neither was Sarai's husband, Abram. Now, in terms of us following God, God is perfect. But our hearing him is not perfect. Our obedience to him is not perfect. Our hiding God's word in our heart is not perfect. And so, yes, you might have a husband that's off on a harebrained idea that is not pleasing to God, but you need to recognize that God will deal with that. God will deals with his people in a way that they can do right. So what happened here, one of the first incident that we are privy to is that there was a famine in the land, and Abram and Sarai decided to go down into Egypt, chapter 12, verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And when they did, Abram feared that the Egyptians would kill him because Sarah was beautiful, and they would want her as a wife. So he asked Sarai to tell everyone that she was Abram's sister. Now, that was a half-truth, which is a whole lie, because his intention was to deceive. Sarai was taken into Pharaoh's house, and Abram was treated well because of her, but God afflicted Pharaoh's house, and the couple's lie was revealed. So she colluded with him in the lie. And we're talking about people of faith. They're in the hall of fame, this faith, this cloud of witnesses of people that had faith in God. I can relate to this as a believer. We talked about that this morning in class, about this beautiful, which I think is a beautiful illustration of the Apostle Peter, because we know from 1 John that if we say we have no sin, it's talking to believers, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, because believers do sin. And I think a beautiful picture here is in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to now be washing the disciples' feet. And Jesus, in verse 6 of John 13, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean." Do you understand? If you're saved today, you are clean every whit. Is that because of your behavior? No. It's because you're adopted into the family of God. You're a child of God. And you know children are not always obedient. Even the ones that really want to be obedient are weak. And you recognize that God is like a good parent, and he understands our weakness, and we're frail. We are frail. And so we do sin as believers, and so we need 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Believers need cleansing. Lost people don't need cleansing. They're dead. You can cleanse a carcass or a dead body all you want, and it'll never have life. Lost people do not need cleansing. They need regeneration. They need life. They need to pass from death into life. So that verse does not apply to them. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The unbeliever needs to call on God for salvation, needs to call on God to be born again, to have life. And then, as they walk, and as we walk in the newness of life in Christ, we do get our feet dirty by our own actions, by our own sinfulness. That fight that goes on between the old man and the new man. And so it's a battle. We're not in heaven yet. We're like in Canaan land, where there's battles to be fought. And in God's wisdom, he chose that this is how we should live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so here, Abram and Sarai agreed to lie, and God held them accountable for that and rebuked them for that in bringing affliction to Pharaoh's house. and the couple's lie was revealed, Pharaoh returned Sarai to Abram and sent them on their way. Sarah and Abram came back to the land now known as Israel, and they had acquired many possessions and a great deal of wealth. And Lot and Abram, now remember, Abram was told to leave his family. He dragged Lot along, and that was kind of like a boat anchor for him. But so Lot and Abram agreed to split up in order to, for their massive herds of cattle to have adequate grazing. That's in Genesis chapter 13, verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. Now, Sarai was barren. And in that time, it was cultural shame. Abram was worried that he would have no heir. But God gave Abram a vision, in that he promised him a son, and that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. So that's Genesis 15. And in verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing that I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now here's a man, he's very old, and his wife is past the age of giving birth. And verse 6 says, And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And so he believed God even beyond belief. Because God said it, he believed it. And yet, it was very difficult for him. God is telling him, no, Eliezer will not be the heir. And so, 10 years after God had made the promise to Abram, Sarai suggested to Abram that they have a child, that he has a child through her servant Hagar. And the child born of that union would be counted as Sarai's. Abram agreed, and Hagar conceived a son, Ishmael. But Hagar began to look at Sarah with contempt, and Sarai began to treat Hagar harshly, so much so that Hagar ran away. God met Hagar in the desert and encouraged her to return to Abram and Sarai, which she did. And 13 years after Ishmael was born, God reaffirmed his covenant with Abram. And this time he gave him the sign of circumcision as well as changing his name. You look in chapter 17, verse 15. And Abram said, and God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shalt thou name her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And so here he laughed, and it's not indicated that it was a laugh of doubt, but it was a laugh of of amazement that such a thing could happen. And Abram said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac." And that name Isaac means God brings laughter and joy. So, "And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation." And so, "But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this time next year." So Sarai, actually it's a masculine, it comes from a masculine noun, meaning a head person, a captain, a chief, a general, a governor, a keeper, a lord, a ruler, a steward. Ladies, are you sort of like the head of the house? That was Sarai's last name, or her, the meaning of her first name. But God changed that name to one that comes from a feminine root, meaning a mistress, a lady, a princess, a queen. And so gave her a name, "My Princess." So from being somebody who is bossy to a princess, a lady, a queen, you know, both Abram and Sarai, later Sarah, were guilty of taking actions in unbelief. But it's just, can you just sense what it was like to be Sarai and then Sarah? Okay, fine, I'll go along with you, Abram, and Abraham, I'll go along with you. She judged that God was faithful. She wasn't putting her confidence in her husband so much as really in God, because from any account, I find I would have a hard time believing this. And so, men and women, but men of the house, you're in charge of the household, the Holy Spirit might be prompting you to do something that just does not seem fitting. But if you're really convinced by God and His Word, you know that you have to take that step in faith, believing that God would provide. And some of these things can be difficult, because the hard part is often we are, the way that God leads is black and white, but we're gray. And so sometimes it's hard for us to discern. So stay in the Word of God, men and women. Keep in the Word of God. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And so 13 years after Ishmael was born, God reaffirmed his covenant to Abram, and changed Abram's name to from Abram, meaning high father, to Abraham, meaning father of a multitude. And he changed Sarai's name to Sarah, meaning my princess or mother of nations. And so Abram laughed that at 100 years old, he could have a son with Sarah, who was 90 years old and had been barren her entire life. Sarah, too, laughed at the prospect. And chapter 18. And chapter 18, verse 9 through 15. We'll just see here in verse 9, it says, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent." And then if you look a little further down, in verse 12, "Therefore Sarah laughed when they said that she would..." Well, let's read the whole thing. Verse 10, "And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I have waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being also old also? And the Lord said unto Abram, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Verse, continuing on 14, "At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Verse 15, "Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid, fearful. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh." And so God had the last laugh in that he even named Isaac to be... God brings laughter and joy. So God had the last laugh. And so she was weak. She was weak in faith, but she did have faith. She accounted God that he was... She... if we look there again in Hebrews 11. And... she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. And so even though it was difficult, she trusted him. So shortly after God promised Abram and Sarah a son, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but he rescued Abram's nephew. And then Abram and Sarah journeyed toward the Negev and sojourned in Gerar. In chapter 20, Genesis 20. Abraham again asked Sarah to lie, second time to lie about her identity, and the king of Gerar took Sarah to be his wife, but God protected Sarah, through whom Isaac would be born. King Abimelech had no relations with her. God warned Abimelech in a dream, and the king not only sacrificed to God in repentance, but gave gifts to Abram and Sarah and allowed them to dwell in the land. And so God remained faithful to his promise to give Abram and Sarah a son. They named him Isaac, and Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. So Genesis 21, verse 6 through 7. And we can actually start in verse 1. "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned." And so here we see 25 years after God initially talked to Abram and said that he'd make him a great nation, 25 years later, when all physical hope was gone, God allowed them to have this son, Isaac, who was a picture of the Christ that was to come. And we'll see that, Lord willing, next time when we talk about Isaac by faith. But here, Sarah is an example of faith. And we see also that she's an example to Christian women. Women of belief. In 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, this in context here, in verse 1, it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of their wives." So even if you're with an unbelieving husband, you need to be in subjection with your own husband, because they might also be won by the conversation or the lifestyle of the wife. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be with the outward adorning of plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be of the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a weak and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Verse 6, "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do dwell, and are not afraid with all amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Okay, so men, be gentle, be kind to your wife, recognizing in the same way that you are under God's authority, and God may be asking you to do something that's not customary. Like this one fellow was saying, my dad was not a compromiser. Well, God may be calling you not to be a compromiser as well. And it may be difficult. Your wife, your children may not, or may have difficulty accepting that. But be kind to your wife, be kind to your children, knowing that God is kind to you. And wives, just trust God. Even if you have an ungodly, like a husband that does not obey the word of God, as it said in verse 1, be in subjection to them so that they might even be won by your lifestyle of following God. And so here we see that Sarah endured much to try to provide for an heir for her husband and to keep her husband safe in dangerous lands. In the end, she had faith enough to believe that she and her husband at the age of 90, at her age at 90 and her husband at 100, would produce the promised heir, Isaac. Although she lived in a world of danger and confusion, Sarah stood firm in her commitment to her husband and to God, and her commitment was rewarded with blessing. And if you see that they tried, they did make some attempts to fulfill God's promise in the arm of the flesh. 2 Chronicles 32, talking about Hezekiah, the king of Assyria. 2 Chronicles 32 and 7. Hezekiah is saying, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid or dismayed of the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him." If you're with God, there's more with you than with what this world can throw at you. Verse 8, with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. The apostle Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong in Christ. And so for Sarah, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now it's interesting, all these ones preceding here, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, they did something. Or it's commented that they did something, and that was God testifying by his gifts, and by it, he obtained a witness that he was righteous. Sarah just became a willing vessel. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, she couldn't do anything. There's nothing that she could do to perform God's will for them. She was a willing vessel. She was willing, and God gave her strength to give birth at 91 birth, because he promised it at the age of 90 and at 91. And then she lived on to be another 36 years. She died at 127. And doesn't this remind us of Mary, who also, when she was told that she would have a child, knowing that she had never been with a man? Luke 2:19 says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I just trying to relate to what that would be like. Can you imagine? All the shame, all the ostracism, all that difficulties that wrapped up in that. And yet Mary, she recognized that she was a sinner. She needed a Savior. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her, that's Elizabeth, about 3 months, and returned to her own house. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary recognized that she was a sinner and needed a Savior. But she was just praising God for his fulfillment of his promises. And you too, you can see how difficult the life of faith can be. And just trust that if you are confident that God is leading you in that way, not even if you're not confident, but in her case, following her husband, and he's accountable to God. Can you imagine what he felt like? We're going to be, next time we talk, Lord willing, we'll be talking about how he had to now take that, your son, thine only son, and sacrifice him up. Like, I mean, look, it's difficult. Following God is a difficult road. And but it's well worth it. God provides. All right, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for thy goodness to us. We thank thee for this example of Sarah, who just did what she could, even though it was faulty in several times, and yet she became a willing servant of thine that you could bring your promise to pass. We just thank thee for this, her faith. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength. And so, dear God, we look to thee for strength, because we know that your strength is made perfect in our weakness, in our subjecting ourselves, our humbly submitting ourselves to thee. And we thank thee for all these promises you've given us. Help us to do right, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.